The Bible refers to this deal as the passing pleasures of sin. In that great faith chapter, in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 25, the writer, speaking about Moses, he wrote about Moses that he was choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, Moses wasn't the only one that had a deal. Joseph, in Genesis chapter 39, also had a deal. Joseph was given the opportunity for instant pleasure. Potiphar's wife was offering something that many men would not turn down. It was a very secure location. Potiphar's wife's servants would have made sure that everything was kept in private. They wouldn't dare say a word, and if the husband was coming home, she definitely would have been warned. But in verses 8 and 9, it says in Genesis 39 about Joseph, "But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Behold, my master is not concerned what is with me in this house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me, but you, because you are his wife. Then how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?'" Potiphar's wife offered a $100,000 deal. It was available immediately, without effort, and without any sacrifice. You can take it, and you can run. But before you run, let's take a look at the second deal. Here's what God offers as a deal. He will give you future pleasures and rewards, an eternity of bliss that far exceeds the pleasures and rewards of this life. But there is a caveat that comes with this offer. He requires a lot of effort. He requires a lot of sacrifice on our part. He requires faithful service, such as resisting temptation and enduring persecution. The Bible refers to this deal as eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, he wrote in chapter 6 in verses 17 through 23, he said, "But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you," the $1 million deal. Okay. "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness." The $100,000 deal. What fruit had you in those things? For the end of those things is death. Now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, the $1 million of God, is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, why do you think that so many people accept Satan's offer over God's? For the same reason that anyone would keep $100,000 and refuse the $1 million. They fail to appreciate the difference in value. This failure to appreciate the difference is especially true in real life. But the promises of Satan last only a lifetime, if that. You know, we've been inundated these last month and a half or so on the news with the opioid addiction. And so many people have gotten hooked on these things. And here just recently in the news, a couple was arrested for a mail scam that they had in shipping a very dangerous drug through the mail. A drug that has killed at least six people across the country. A drug that is far more deadlier than heroin. Now, those six people, when they injected the drug, they were taking a $100,000 deal for instant gratification. It cost them their life. They weren't out looking to die, but there was a deal placed before them they did not want to resist. The promises of God is eternity. In 1 Timothy 4 in verse 8, Paul said, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now, that now is, and of that which is to come." A life in perpetuity. It continues and continues and continues forever and ever and ever. The $1 million deal. Ponce de Leon spent his whole life looking for the fountain of youth. It's right here. In Mark chapter 10, in verses 28 through 30, it says here, "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed you. And Jesus answered him and he said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left his house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's." Here's what they've gained. "But he shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and the world to come, eternal life." $1 million deal. And yet, so many people will literally sell their souls to accept Satan's offer. Moses understood the difference. Moses made the right choice. Let's go back to the verse we read earlier, Hebrews chapter 11, but let's go verses 24 through 26. "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." What was the choices that Moses had? Well, he had the $100,000 Satan offer. He could have been counted as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have lived in the lap of luxury. Nothing would have been beyond his grasp. He could have had it at the snap of a finger, whatever he desired. He would have had a very easy life. He wouldn't be tramping around in the wilderness for 40 years. He wouldn't have had to lift up his arms while all the people crossed the Red Sea. He wouldn't have had to get water out of the rock. He would have had everything he wanted right there at his fingertips. But he would rather have suffered the affliction that all the other Hebrews in the land of Egypt were suffering than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin and esteeming the reproach of Christ as a greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. Moses' reasoning for this choice was that he was looking toward the reward, not what was right before him. He evaluated the deals before him and he made the right choice. Now, what deal have we made? Are we accepting the deal made by Satan? Are we looking at the $100,000? Who offers the path of least resistance? Who offers the immediate pleasures of life? If those are the things we're seeking, then we are accepting the deal made by Satan. We are accepting that deal if we refuse to obey the gospel. But what about us Christians? What about us who have obeyed? For I seriously doubt that there are many who would have gladly accepted the $1 million. No matter how difficult it was going to be to get it, no matter how much difficulty it would be to figure out how are we going to get home, how am I going to get back, how am I going to get to work, I got to get the kids from school, we would figure out a way. No matter how hard it would be, we would have taken the $1 million deal. We wouldn't let anything keep us from getting it. And yet, there are many who have taken the $1 million deal and yet not considered the promise of eternal life worth the effort. They don't make the effort to be here on Sundays. They don't make the effort to be here on Wednesdays. You see, this is the efforts that God wants. They don't make the efforts to do what they need to be doing for their brothers and sisters in Christ or for their neighbors or for their co-workers. But they've accepted the $1 million deal. They've taken the money and run. They've allowed many of these things to hinder their service to God and to their brethren, who evidently place a higher value on $1 million than on the gift of eternal life. They sell their souls for a whole lot less. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 3 and going through verse 5, Paul writes, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." You know, when we read a lot of the epistles in the New Testament, there was always an underlying message in there about disobedience. There was an awful lot of people who were trying to undermine the Lord's church and take away the ones who had taken the $1 million. And now they are serving Satan all over again. The purpose tonight was not to bestow feelings of guilt, but to remind ourselves that each day we are making choices. We are choosing each and every day whether we serve Satan or we serve God. And yes, as Christians, we've taken the $1 million offer, but are we still taking money under the table from Satan? That's what we have to think about. Who are we choosing to serve? It's my hope to illustrate the folly of letting immediate and temporary gratification keep us from a much greater and future reward. Brethren, let's make a deal to redeem the reproach of Christ's greatest riches than the treasures of this world, and to choose to suffer affliction with the people of God, even if it means assembling more often than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin and selfishness. Jesus told us flat out, in no uncertain terms, that we will be persecuted. And to accept that we are going to be persecuted if we choose to follow Him. But you see, the reward is much greater. The reward is much greater. Sure, we can ease our burdens, have our life made easier if we deny Him. But then what do we get when that money is spent? You know, together. And that's what the church can do for one another. Together, we can help each other keep our priorities straight. And we can receive the best deal that has ever been made. Are you ready tonight to accept the $1 million deal? If you're not a Christian, the offer is there. It will require sacrifice. David, in 1 Chronicles, when he had sinned against God and he had ordered Joab to number the people of Israel, he wanted to know how many troops he had. God gave him three choices of what he can do as punishment. He chose the third choice, a pestilence, and the angel slinging his sword in Jerusalem. About 70,000 were killed. And God repented of that evil work. And David asked him what he can do. And he told him to go to the threshing floor of Ornan and sacrifice and build an offer. An altar there and sacrifice peace offerings and burnt offerings. And when Ornan saw him coming and David said what he needed, Ornan said, "It is yours, O king. It's yours." But David would not just take it. He paid because, brethren, worship without sacrifice is vain worship. A Christian life without sacrifice is vain Christianity. It will not gain us anything. So what are you willing to sacrifice? It's a hard choice to make, but the rewards are far greater than any choice Satan could ever make. If you're not a Christian tonight, grab hold of the $1 million deal. Secure your place for eternity. Obey the gospel tonight. If you are a Christian and you have taken the $1 million, but you are still on Satan's payroll and you need to make things right with God, we want to give you the opportunity also to make things right. Secure and keep your place secure in heaven. If anyone has a need this evening, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.